All through the scriptures, there are altars. There are sacred places where God speaks. Have you noticed that? Peniel, Bethel, remember? Jerusalem itself. The interesting thing is when Ezekiel saw the temple, when you draw Ezekiel's temple out, it's in the shape of a man. And the altar is the heart of it. Interesting, eh? I'll preach on that someday. But not today, right? But it's all through. And if you've ever read the scriptures, you will also have read the story of Antioch. You remember that story? Antioch was an altar also because a significant move of God happened when the Holy Spirit visited that place. And I believe, Craig, that the Lord is saying that Brisbane North has become an altar for the glory of God. And so, brother, I'm really grateful to you and Donald for letting me come and to be a part of it. Hey, who's here? I'm looking over here and I'm pretty sure I know where these guys are from, right? Bayside, right?
Yeah.
All right, hello. Is there anyone not sitting here from Bayside?
Yeah.
Okay, were you not worthy to sit with them? You were not worthy, I see. But it's great to see you. The CEO's there, or one of them. Where's the better looking one? At home with the children. Oh, would you tell her I miss her? Please do. Welcome to you guys. I just really appreciate having the Bayside guys here. That's wonderful. So there's some Northside guys as well, right? Just a few. Welcome. Great to see you. It was a great morning this morning. We give God all the glory. Who else is here?
Carindale.
Who's here from Carindale? My brother Luke is here. Yes, I see you, brother. Luke is the youth guy. I love that guy. He's a good man.
Gold Coast
is here too?
I think so.
Oh, right. Great to see you guys. You come a long way.
Yeah, Noosa
as well. Ah, yes. I see the CO there, or one of them anyway. Where's the better looking one, brother? Is she home with the grandchildren? Ah, okay. Would you remember me to her? She's a very fine lady in the faith. Who else? Stafford. We got anyone from Stafford? Yep. Great to meet you both. God bless you. Munya is here. Just two of us, but the best two, right? Yeah. I get that.
Family services.
Anyone from family services here? And of course, yeah. And of course, the Caboolture guys, the housing. What do you call that? The group? Sorry? Support accommodation. Yeah. Welcome to, who's that? Who's in the team there? Just you at the moment? So there's three, four. Hey, listen, it's beautiful that you came. Thank you for doing that. Isn't that great testimony? You should get to know that lady. I tell you, she's great to know. You can just sit next to her in a meeting and you think, wow. It's just, you get someone who knows Jesus and you just feel it. It's a lovely person. God bless you. So anyone else here that I haven't remembered? Sorry?
BCT.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great to see you. That's great. Come in. Mind you, people at BCT, they live all over Brisbane, don't they? Where do you live?
Across the road.
Across the road. There you go. I knew. Yeah, that makes logical sense. I get that. No worries.
Rockhampton's here.
Oh, yeah. And Rockhampton is here. Someone from Rockhampton is here? Yeah. And we got someone from Canada, apparently. Actually, they've come in. They work. The CEO's. There is actually someone visiting from Canada. Is that you, ma'am? Great to meet you. Whereabouts in Canada are you from? All right, Halifax, Nova Scotia. That great names over there, doesn't it? Kind of. You put that next to Yerongpilly, and it just sounds so different, doesn't it? Yeah. Friends, this is a very important occasion because about 18 months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke in a context to both David and Sandra and Miriam Glewis, so the DCs for Queensland and New South Wales ACT, respectively. And their heart was to build a place of encouragement for the strengthening of the faith of God's people. And so we've been doing these breathes all around the place. East Lakes, Long Jetty, Lismore, Ballina, Wagga, Fairfield, Miranda, lots of different places like this. Dural, Rouse Hill, and then Queensland has come on board now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is number two of Queensland. We've had one at Toowoomba. We had a lovely... South Brisbane.
You can't remember that when you preached
there? Oh, yeah, that's right. Hello, is more than I realised. Yeah, anyway, and each one, we've had really interesting times, friends. Just give glory to God. We've seen people come to know Jesus. We've seen bodies healed. We've seen people's strength, you know, people's faith strengthened and helped. But most of all, we've had the army coming together and getting a sense of itself unto God. And that's a good thing for any group of people to do. So this is exciting, and I'm really privileged to be here and to share with you. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. Many of you will know this passage even without me having to read it, but it's just so important. Let's read just a few verses from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound of a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthian, Mede, Elamite, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed. Others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." And Peter stood up, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Just a few stories, because I love telling stories. Now, there was a little event which happened in Nazareth. As soon as you can remember it, right? Interrupt. A little event in Nazareth happened at the synagogue. And Jesus was reading a passage of scripture. Do you remember the prophet? Isaiah. And he read the passage. He put it down. And then he said something profound. Do you remember? Yeah, today the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. Now, it takes a bit of courage to do that, believe me. And this guy has a bit of courage. Hello? Yeah? A little bit of courage? He says, today something has happened. The kingdom of God has come. Now, it's a very interesting thing that when you look at the Bible speaks of two ages, the age of the now age, the age of the powers of this world. You ever heard that phrase from the Bible? And then the age to come. And what happened in Luke was that Luke 4 was by the power of God's strength and power of his spirit within his precious son, he announced that the breakthrough had begun. A significant breakthrough. It was more profound than anyone had ever thought was possible. For what was happening was that the power of the age to come was breaking into the world. Ooh, you can just feel the joy of that, can't you? As he breaks into the world, this world given over to everything, it would seem, that was opposed to the things of God. The powers of this age dedicated to everything God did not want. And Jesus stands up and reads the scriptures and announced, "Behold, now the day that Isaiah said would come has now come, and the great break in is happening." God was breaking in to the world. Now, this caused some problems. It caused some problems for the people who had the power in this world. People like Pharisees, people like Romans, right? People like that. People who were powerless were thrilled. They were thrilled because this gave them hope that they could be part of something big. They could be included instead of excluded. People that had been written off for years were now welcome. What was happening was that the powers of the age to come had begun to break in. Do you remember Jesus said it would start small? Remember, like the mustard seed, yeah. It would start small and then it would grow bigger and bigger and bigger till it filled the whole earth. And so what happens in Luke 4 is that that begins to happen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Jesus is maintaining it by his own person. What if Jesus is taken away? Without something else, the whole thing would fall down. And so what happened was that after Jesus gave his life and was in the tomb 3 days, something absolutely amazing took place. He rose again. Woo! I mean, seriously, you could get enthusiastic now at this point. You could seriously go, "Woo, I love faith. It's just woo, burning on the inside of me. This is good." What's happened is now that in the resurrection, that break in now just explodes. Now it's everywhere. The resurrection of Christ means now that the great breaking in, where the age to come overlaps this present age, now it's possible for men to find God and to be reconciled to him and to find his favor again. It was great. And Jesus said to them as he was leaving, "Wait here, because in order to live in that overlap, you're going to need some help. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. You're going to need him, because he's going to be the one to give you what you need, working in that overlap where it's full of ironies." Hello? Yeah? This world is an interesting place, isn't it? Hallelujah. It seems to be going in one direction. Wrong direction. And where the kingdom of God is going is in completely the opposite direction. And we live in that overlap. Have you ever noticed that you don't quite feel at home anywhere? And yet we are at home. For the resurrection means that the new creation has started. Now, not in heaven to come, it's now. And when the new creation comes at the end of Revelation, you see the picture of the city coming down from heaven to the earth. It's not the platonic thing of going to heaven when you die. No, that's not the story. The story is that the kingdom is breaking into the world. And in the overlap, as the kingdom of God, which is the presence of the age to come, grows and grows, there are groanings and painful moments and difficulties and growing pains and stuff to face. But in the end, those who are filled with the Spirit have what it takes to operate in that place. And so God says through his son, Jesus, wait. Wait till you have power. Because with the Holy Spirit upon you, within you and upon you, you will have what you need to live in this, well, let's face it, there's a lot of ironies, isn't there? We see the world going one direction. We know what Jesus is saying, and it's almost the opposite. How do we live in this place? You live by the Spirit. The Spirit comes and he fills you. He fills you. And he gives you supernatural power, not only in terms of knowledge and wisdom, not only in terms of your pastoring of one another and your insights into one another and your grace for one another, but it's also in the power to see people changed. I remember, it's a funny story, I tell it every now and again because I still can't believe it. You know how we often, you know, when you're in the ministry and you see something wonderful happen, you almost don't want to let on for fear people think you didn't actually expect that and know that would happen. And I remember Sharon let me go to the Philippines. You remember this? The Philippines a long while ago. I had dark hair then. And it was a wonderful time. And we shared the gospel. We preached the gospel. We saw people come to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, shuffling out of the back of the crowd, comes this woman who's bent over like that. And I remember this. It's vivid. It's 30 years old almost. Almost 30 years ago. And I can still remember it. And she shuffled forward. And when we prayed for her, we saw her stand up straight. We gave all the glory to God. But inside, I was going... On the outside, I was going, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. It's just what we do. It's just what we do. It's nothing. Oh, it's just normal. But inside, do you know what I mean? You appreciate what I'm saying. I was a good Baptist. I was enthusiastic on the inside. I don't know whether you guys have that problem. Maybe you do, huh? So you see, the kingdom of God has, and I remember too, in the second brief, the first breathe we ever had. One of the officers came forward. She had not been able to raise her arms above here. And we saw her lift up her arms like this, just as though it was the most natural thing she could ever do, as the power of God was evident to heal and restore her body. And of course, we know that there are a whole lot of things we don't always understand, so we keep praying. There are things that happen, we pray and don't happen, so we just keep praying. Because if you keep praying, you're going to see more. So we see the kingdom come. Every time we see a boy or a girl give their lives to Jesus, they see the kingdom is breaking in. If you've ever come, if you've ever thought of your family, by the way, who's the first in their family to follow Jesus? Yeah. I've got to tell you guys, there'll be people in the future, if Jesus tarries, who will say, oh, I'm so grateful for her. She decided to follow Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. My great-grandfathers, two of them, just had terrible lives until Jesus found them. Yeah? Praise God. One in England, one here in South Australia. See, my point is that as the kingdom, as the age to come breaks in more and more into the world, there is a clash. And in this clash, there are many difficulties and unanswered things. And so Jesus says, while you're living there, I give you my Spirit. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be so full of him that you overflow. So that everywhere you go, whether it's at work or in your ministry or in your school or in your family, wherever you go, you are literally bringing the age to come in wherever you go. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. And there's some interesting scriptures, and I'm just going to go really quickly through them to show you what I mean. Why the apostles were really concerned that anyone who actually confessed Jesus as their Lord had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because without him, you can't live in that overlap. Does that make sense? You can't live there because it's too difficult. Who knows of men and women who've tried to do it on their own and they've fallen away? We need the Holy Spirit. And so there were a couple of examples from Scripture. So let me share them with you. Chapter 8 of Acts. Chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. You can think about these later on. But these are all illustrative of why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, the story is told of the first church planted. And it was in Samaria. And when reports of all that God had done got back to the apostles, they sent Peter and John. Look at the reason in verse 15. What was the reason? You see it there? What was the reason? Verse 15. Sorry? So they could receive the Holy Spirit. The apostles knew that if anyone was going to confess Christ, in order to maintain that faith and that witness, they were going to need the Holy Ghost. It was not an option. It was not something, I got the whole kit except the Holy Ghost, but it's all right, that's enough. No. You needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost because living in that overlap, you're not going to last unless the Holy Ghost is upon you. And so the apostles knew every time they heard, this was the first time they heard something was going on in Samaria. They heard people were being saved. They heard people were being transformed. They heard the whole town was on fire with it. They heard of the miracles. They heard of the signs. But what were they concerned about? Were they filled with the Holy Ghost? Because if they aren't, then this is not what Jesus was doing. And so they went down, Peter and John, and prayed with them, laid hands on them. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see what we're saying? The army was built on another Pentecost. Anything less leaves you light on, leaves you suspect. Leaves you with less than you need to do what you need to do in this earth. Leaves you powerless in the face of those who would oppose you and seek to bring you down. Leaves you powerless when people are looking for real answers. Leaves you with answers they don't want. Yeah, give us another Pentecost. Send the fire. It was the illusion of Acts 2, wasn't it? They used to sing this. Why do you think they used to sing this? Well, they like a good sing-along. Yeah, so possibly they did like a good sing-along. They were crazy people who used to wave flags and march around. I never did understand that, but I used to march around with them every now and again. But you guys don't do that anymore. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I am asking you this. The apostles thought it was important if you were going to live in the overlap of this present age and the age to come. Whilst the age to come was advancing through, as the kingdom of God advanced in the earth, whilst ever that was going on, you were facing a battle. It was a battle of ideas and of passion, of heart and of direction. And if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't have what was needed in order to face that battle and win it. The church at any point in its history won the battle because the Spirit of God was involved and lost the battles when he wasn't. So the apostles thought it was important to be filled with the Holy Ghost because they knew that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus does that. So that was the first time, Acts 8. But there were a couple of others that are worthwhile looking at really quickly. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, Peter got himself into a lot of trouble when he preached to a Gentile, worse still, a Roman. And the story says here that they also became followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 11. The story is actually in Acts chapter 10. You can see it from verse 24 on. And the apostles heard that a Roman had got saved and more, been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they wanted to know why. because it was assumed that only Jews would get this. And Peter gave the clear witness. Look at verse 17. You notice what happened? Peter said, I didn't organize this, but when a certain moment came, the Bible says what? The same Spirit that came to us was poured out on them. Friends, the church thrives on this. The church thrives when it is trusting for the Spirit of God to do his work. The apostles were sure that this was a big issue. And if you're one of those Christians that has lost their joy and their sense of purpose, you just need to get filled with the Holy Spirit again, because that is the one who takes you back and gets you your centre back. And he helps you and strengthens you. It was a shock to them that anyone who was not Jewish would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it happened, they wanted to know why. And Peter's defence was really simple. The same Spirit that came upon us came upon them. Why would that be important? Why would it be important that someone be filled with the Spirit? Because this is what Jesus is doing. Because this is what you need when you're living between and in that overlap time that seems to go so slowly between this age and the age to come. Later on in the chapter, there's another one. If you look at it down further in the chapter, there's a one where Barnabas is involved. The scriptures report a story that happened in another church, Antioch, way up north from Jerusalem. And the apostles once again was sent, the apostles sent Barnabas once again, go up and see what's going on. He went up, and the Bible says he saw the grace that was upon them. What grace was that? It was the same Spirit that had raised Christ from the dead was present again in them. Yes, they were Gentiles. Some of them had no Jewish background at all. Things were getting out of hand. But it was the same Spirit. Do you understand the significance of this, friends? We often look at the army and we say, oh, you know, the army needs this or that. I got to tell you, the army needs one thing. And it has only ever needed one thing. It has needed the power of the Pentecost experience regularly, all the time. It needs this because if you're living between the overlap between this age and the age to come, as the kingdom is advancing slowly and deliberately, in ways that you don't understand, and you want to live and operate in that overlap, you will need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You will need his power. And if you don't have it, you're asking yourself to do it so hard. Friends, many of you have gone through difficulties in your Christian experience. I put it to you that more of the Spirit is always good. And to be a people that earnestly seek after, don't just pray one prayer and move on, but who earnestly seek after the Spirit. That's what we're looking for. The army will always exist if it's like this. Lord, fill us again. Fill us again. Give us your power, Lord. Give us your power, your raw, unadulterated power that fills us and overflows us, that gives us gumption. Not the stuff you wipe on things, but the courage. Right? And then one other example, one other really interesting one. Paul is on his way to Ephesus, and it's chapter 19. He arrives in Ephesus and he meets some of the disciples there, and it turned out they had not received the Holy Spirit. So what did Paul do? Verse 6, he laid his hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I am not suggesting anything that is not biblical, nor that is not proven experience of army leaders over the years. Movements always lose momentum when they forget what made them strong. And so we in these breathe events come to the Lord again and we say together, Lord, we need another Pentecost. We sense that we're living in between this world and the world to come. We are so out of our depth. Amen. We feel so inept. We don't know what to do. We don't know what our next thought should be or what our next act should be. Lord, what are we to do? Come, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us again with the Holy Spirit. And this time, we're not just going to pray once and hope it happens. We're going to press in until it happens. The army knew how to do that back then, back at the start. But friends, if you will allow me, no criticism, but it doesn't know how to do that now. You have to stay and keep pressing. You ever heard the Christian say, well, I prayed for the Holy Ghost and nothing happened? You ever heard that? It usually happens because someone just thinks that, you know, God's just going to turn the tap on when I say. And there's a need for us to recognize that the Holy Spirit will come. But most of all, he will come because he sees us before him. And he sees us agonizing for what is God's will in our lives, where we will wait on him and press into him until we get through. He sees that and he says, now I can come with power. It's not automatic, friends. It's not just some, oh yeah, I might pray once and if nothing happens, I'll keep going. Friends, this is the journey. In order to live in the overlap between this present age and the age to come, we're going to need the power of the Spirit. And so these meetings are made so that we can come together and pray and ask God, fill us again. Come with power again. Fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us again. Don't stop. Grab a hold of us. Don't let us go. We're not letting you go. We're holding on to this until we get the breakthrough. This is our time. We are the people of God. We know what we need. In order to be a movement of Jesus, a Jesus movement, the Spirit of God is the sign and the seal and the power of that. We need another Pentecost. Why? Because we're living between this world and the world to come. And we feel the pain. We want so much of the world to come and we live grounded in the world as it is. We want breakthrough. We want breakthrough. And some of us have made the mistake of Plato and others of thinking that if only we could leave this world and go to heaven, everything would be wonderful. What God wants to do is on earth now. The kingdom is advancing in the earth now. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as his people in order to do what we're supposed to do. And this meeting now is really dedicated from here on of praying with one another, of seeking after him, of worshipping and praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And if you wouldn't mind making this your daily plea, then maybe we can really change the world by his power. We press in until he comes. And when he comes, we drink deeply. We drink deeper and deeper so that when we are facing that terrible overlap, you felt that, haven't you? You know what that's like. The age to come, you sense it there. The age, this present age, you sense it. And you're in between it. The kingdom of God is coming. You feel it advancing in the earth and there's great battles great struggles, and you're right in the middle of it. Some of our brothers and sisters right now in places like Yemen, China, North Korea, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, they are paying with their lives. And the only thing that holds them is the Holy Spirit. We're in the West and everything's nice and comfortable. And we've soaked up a silly story about when we die, we go to heaven. Friends, everlasting life is now. Everlasting life is now in this world for His glory. As the kingdom is advancing. So as we come and we worship and we sing, thank you, and we sing together, this place of prayer is open so that we may begin to press in. We don't need anyone to pray for us. Yeah, no counselors are needed. No one will come to you and get in your ear about something. No one will speak to you. This is our time as the people of God to come around the place of prayer and press in and say, Lord, we need another Pentecost. Pour out your Spirit on me. Let me pray. Lord, we are grateful to you, very grateful to you, the good news that has come because we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're grateful to you. And we come, Lord, at this time to press in together as the people of God. Press in so that we can know the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Lord, be glorified in this place. Be glorified in it so that all of us will begin to experience what it's like to live filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we come and we make this a place of prayer, we ask that your power will come upon us and the breakthroughs will begin and never stop. We ask this so that we may live for Jesus' glory. Amen. We ask it in His name.